Well, I had said last week that we would start back in Hebrews, but today is Communion Sunday. And I always try to bring some thoughts about communion. So instead of going to the book of Hebrews this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. If you've ever had a history class, history always deals with great personages, great figures in history. You'll hear of Napoleon, of Caesar, of Hammurabi. You'll hear of great generals, great leaders who have impacted history, human history. It is unfortunate in the day and age in which we live that you will not hear about the two personages that have made the greatest impact on human history since humans began. You won't hear it now, will you? And those two personages that have impacted the human race more than anyone in the history of being on earth are two personages they never mention now. Adam and Christ. Can't mention Christ, can you, in schools? When the Gideons go passing out Bibles now, Steve, you've been with him. Have you ever faced some difficulty in opposition? I know that Ed told us one time, the principal came out, if I remember this correctly, and told him, "You can't be standing here passing out Bibles." Didn't that happen, Ed? The two greatest personages that impacted the human race. And you can't even let people know who these two people are. God bless America, huh? Romans has some wonderful things this morning about how these two personages, when we look at communion, impacted the human race. Starting at verse 11. "And not only this, but we exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ," the first person who impacted humanity in the greatest way, "through whom we now have received reconciliation." Do you see that word? That's the first thing. Make two columns in your mind as we study communion. Adam and Christ. The first benefit that Jesus gave the human race was this. It's this fancy term here called reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? Literally, simply, it means made friends. It means that somehow man became isolated and estranged from God. Have you ever seeing people say, "Where is God? I can't see Him. Where is He?" It's because something happened in human history. Reconciliation implies that God has been alienated from man and withdrawn from man. Reconciliation means that through Jesus, whatever hindered man's fellowship with the Creator has been removed so that we are now friends. That implies that mankind was in a position of being enemies of God. Look what it says next. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered. Today, go to a university, they will be evolutionists. Just to show you how things have changed, in evolution, it is the female. Am I not right, Mark? It's the female who is the progenitor of the race. Here, Bible history stands in contrast. We were alienated from God due to something historically that happened through one man. Now listen to me. If Genesis isn't true, close your Bibles. Do what you want. Because the idea of sin, why do people walk into a school and do what they do? It's because historically, way back, the human race was impacted by the action of one historical person. Jesus came to correct what that one historical person did to his kids. You know, y'all look different on the outside, don't you? Y'all have different names, don't you? Linda's got an Italian name. Steve's got a Hispanic name. I've got, I don't know. Listen, we all go back to the same great, 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 great granddad. Have you ever started tracing your human history of all your ancestors? You haven't gone far back enough. We all go back. If you're Irish, or if you're German-Italian, we all go back to this one man. If this one man did not exist, and you go to school today, and they will tell you this is nothing but myth. It is not myth. Jesus came and His redemption is predicated on the fact that Adam, our great-grandfather, plunged us into sin. To deny Adam's real existence is to say that sin does not exist. History is wedded to theology. If Adam didn't exist, then Jesus was deluded. For why did Jesus come to die on the cross? To reconcile man, to make man friends with God, that Grandpa Adam did. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered. Why are we born sinners? Great-grandpa. Have you ever had a great-grandpa that brought embarrassment to you? You ever had a relative that you're really embarrassed about? This is the guy that we should all be embarrassed. We share a common relative we should all be embarrassed about. He did it. What did He give us? Make those two columns. Because we're related to Adam. Why do people die? Death through sin. And so death spread to all men. How many precious people we've lost this year, this last year? Betty Splawn? Valerie? You know why? Because great-grandpa Adam. Man's looking for a way to overcome death, getting in, seeing that they can gene splice, produce new cardiac hearts. They're talking about a 3D printer now that can actually take and print out a flesh heart. They're working on those kind of things. All of that may prolong life, but it will never, never overcome what Adam did. Death spread to all men because we're all related to Adam. Guess what? Sickness and death is because of Grandpa Adam. Christ came to correct that. For all men, because all sinned. You talk about, we are born spiritually challenged. You can't do anything but sin. Shall we call this a disease? Whatever. You're born spiritually alienated and sinful because of what our grandpa did. We got death and sin from Adam. For until the law, sin was in the world, but look, sin was not imputed. Now that means this, sin was sin, but from Adam to Moses, sin was not imputed in the sense of charged to an account. Sin was still sin, but when the law came, guess what that started doing? Started charging sin against everybody's account. Why? Because of Adam. So from Adam, death reigned. Even though you did not sin the likeness of Adam. How do you like that? You got something as an inheritance that you wouldn't want. You got nothing but a propensity to sin and wander from God. That's what you got from Adam. But look in verse 15. Look what we got from Jesus. We received reconciliation. He corrects what Adam did. Without Christ, there will never be a correction of what Adam did. But through Christ, there is a free gift. By the way, everybody that's a Christian or knows the Bible enough to know the wages of sin is what? Okay, wages is what you earn. Adam will give you your wage. Death. It's something that we earn. But Jesus, because of reconciliation that we celebrate in communion, there is a gift. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God. Through Jesus, we receive grace. Unmerited favor. A free gift. By the grace of one man, Jesus the Messiah, grace abounds. Do you know what the word abounds means? Cannot exhaust God's grace through Jesus. Verse 16, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. What did you get from Grandpa Adam? You got sin, you got death. You've got alienation. What do you receive from Christ? Reconciliation. The gift of God's grace. The forgiveness of sin. But look what it says. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose. You know what you get from Adam? Judgment. That's why Christians should never look at the world who do not know Jesus and say, I can't wait till they get what they deserve. We all deserve it. It's only God's grace through which we have obtained this reconciliation. In Adam, you get judgment. And by the way, there's only one sentence when they pass this kind of judgment, and that sentence is death. From one transgression, you got judgment, and guess what? Condemnation. How many of you are related to Adam? Guess what you're getting? Condemnation, death, judgment, alienation. That's what is ours because of Grandpa Adam. No wonder they don't want to teach this in school. But on the other hand, there's a free gift resulting in justification. There it is. You know what happens? In Jesus' death on the cross that we celebrated communion, a wonderful transaction goes on. God takes all of our condemnation, death, and judgment that we deserve because of Grandpa Adam. He puts that on Christ's account. Because of the judgment of the cross. And then He credits to us, declared righteous. Think about that transaction. God takes our condemnation, sin. Christ pays the price, and in turn He freely makes us friends, declared righteous in perfect standing because of Jesus. That's what we celebrate at communion. You are declared righteous. By the way, declared righteous, justification, that doesn't mean that you are righteous. That's what Christians do forget when they look at sinners. You ain't righteous. The declaration is God saying, because of what my Son did on the cross, all those who trust in Him will receive credit for what Jesus did. Now that's the kind of credit I like. You are declared righteous. You are not righteous. You are declared not guilty, even though you are guilty. Who cancels the account? What Jesus did on the cross. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Hey, it's a gift. How many of you have any righteousness in and of yourself? Come on. That's why I don't like people in the fundamentalist culture, because they're always self-righteous. Somebody says, well, they're legalistic. But there's also self-righteousness in fundamentalism. There is no ground for self-righteousness. We are guilty. The only thing that separates us is the grace of God, who declared us, apart from our guilt, that we are not guilty through Jesus. That's it. The grace, the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted what? Condemnation. Even so, through the act of righteousness, through Jesus, verse 18, there resulted justification. It's Jesus that gets us our justification. By simple childlike faith, we are declared righteous before God, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ did. It is not inherently ours for what we did. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Now look at that. For as through one man, the many were made sinners. Listen to me. If Adam doesn't exist, guess what? Guess what? You ain't a sinner. You are evolutionary imperfect. You know what they're teaching in schools today? That there is no such thing as wrong or right. That wrong or right are cultural agreements within a group of people. So that murder and stealing is only wrong inherently because society has contracted to say it's wrong. Otherwise, if we had not agreed that stealing and murder is wrong, it wouldn't be. That's why 53 million babies have been killed in our country, because they've driven home the fact that all we are is not related to Adam. We are related merely to evolutionary purposelessness. You see how we're reaping the whirlwind of what we've done? If you teach children that babies, by the way, I told you last week, in some European countries, you can abort a baby up to 3 years of age. Wait a second, Pastor Dave. Abortion is prior to the baby's birth. Now in Europe, a baby that's 3 years old, the parents now have the right to say, terminate the kid. How does that happen? We've told generation after generation since Darwin that man is not created in the image of God related to Adam, but that man is a purposeless, mindless accident. And that morality, the Ten Commandments, is just a social contract that there is no real right or wrong. Why? Purposelessness in evolution, there's no right or wrong. So now we have people that will walk into a school and blow people away. It's not the gun. It's what we're drilling into our kids. And we're reaping the whirlwind of this. What we are teaching. Here is what the Bible says. You are Adam's children. We are born sinners. Things happen that happen in this world because our great-grandpa did what he did. There is right and wrong. There is value in human life. And it's through what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus came, simply put, to correct what Grandpa Adam did. Do you get in this passage in any way that Paul didn't take Adam to be a real person? The two people that impacted... That's four. The two people that impacted the human race. Adam, Jesus. Will you hear about them? In American schools. And that's why we reap what we reap. By the way, remember when they were passing the health care legislation, there were going to be no death panels? They just announced there will be death panels. And if you're a certain age, and the health costs are too much, they will now give palliative care, just like the Eskimos that would put people on the ice floes and let them drift off. I was hearing the legislatures talking about this now. Why do these things happen? Why do you see 53 million abortions, by the way? And I know I'd make you mad. I won't talk to about the fact that the United States uses drones and hundreds of Pakistani children have been blown to bits by the drones that we're using over there. How can you do that? Because you don't value human life. Why don't you value human life? Because you're no longer teaching what Scripture says You're reaping the whirlwind of these are evolutionary accidents, and death is not a tragedy. It's just sending an advanced monkey to its death. When we celebrate communion, we celebrate the fact of the historic Adam. And we can thank Grandpa Adam for what mess we are in. When the kids blow up schools, guess what? Grandpa Adam is to blame. Sin is to blame. But the wonderful news is, and it's getting harder to get that wonderful news out, isn't it? Is that Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the last Adam, has the remedy and the reconciliation and the justification and the life. He is the answer to what we're facing. So when we celebrate communion, it's more than just a nice little ceremony with a little bit of juice. There are profound implications for what the Bible says and what Christ did.